Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning with me, Dave, Community Connections on Basingstoke Radio. I've got Claire, the garden editor here. And today we are talking about plants that are dark purple or black. And I've got to say many thanks to Jane and Dan from Newbury for sending that in last week. Good morning to you, Claire. You all right?
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I am indeed. I'm feeling refreshed by all this rain and all this nice autumnal weather. And a big thank you to all our listeners, and particularly to Jane and Dan, for what a great challenge. Plants that are purple or black.
Yeah, see, I thought that might have stumped you.
Well, I did have to get my books out and do a bit of kind of thinking about this one. But it's a great question, because quite often we think about light, fluffy colours in the garden, but really dark purples and blacks are possible to have in your garden and can look really striking. They can bring a lot of drama. They can bring a lot of kind of sometimes a bit of a tropical vibe, a kind of like a hot border vibe. But remember, we did a bit of colour theory the other week. We went back to school for a bit of colour theory. So dark colours make things recede. So if you want things to look further away, darker colours in your borders can make your garden look bigger. And it can also be a really great background for other things to happen. So I've got five very, very dark plants for you all today. And they've got some rather dark names. So I'm feeling we're going into our Gothic era. Were you ever goth, Dave?
No,
neither was I.
No,
I did have black
DMs.
You've
not seen me with guyliner on and stuff, have you? No, I couldn't do that.
No, but I did love my black DMs as a teen. So mentally, everyone, if you please prepare yourself to go diving into the depths, here we are. So we're going to start off with a black grass. Now, this grass is called, brace yourselves, Ophiophagon nigrescens. So Ophiophagon nigrescens, nigra means black. So this is a black grass, but it's also the common name is mondo grass. And it grows to about 20 centimetres high, about 20 centimetres wide. And it is what I call a plant for people who don't like plants, because you plant this plant and you need to do absolutely nothing with it. It does not grow bigger. It does not grow smaller. You do not have to feed it. You do not have to chop it back. It just sits there as a pile of black leafed grasses, looking quite structural, quite ornamental. So it's a great one if you've got one to really like modern, contemporary, sleek look. I call it an emo grass, though, because it kind of looks a little bit grumpy, like a teenager at 8 a.m. in the morning. You know, when you see teenagers waiting for the bus and you think, oh, goodness, you poor, poor things. This is just not your time. So this grass is so dark. If you plant it in a border and your soil is quite dark, you will not see this plant. So if you want to get the best from this mondo grass, this Ophiophagon, put it somewhere where you can see the dark leaves shining out against it. So either against some brighter green foliage, or in a pot with some gravel underneath it, or if you have a gravel garden, it's a quite a nice low maintenance plant. If you have kind of like that gravel look in your beds or borders, then you will really see it, and you'll see it at its best. So, an emo grass for the people who don't like plants, Ophiophagon nigrescens, can take sun, can take shade, and probably doesn't like to dry out too much. Again, think emo, think goth, slightly dark corners, and that's the vibe you've got it. But a really cracking plant for those difficult areas where you just want to stick something in and just fill up a space.
Can you get that in the UK?
Yes, absolutely. It's hardy, so it will cope with frosts. You quite often see them in packs in B&Q and places like that. So it's not ridiculously hard to come by. Basingstoke Garden Centre probably has them in as well. I was there just this week picking up some stuff for clients. I can't remember if I saw it there, but it's relatively easy to come by. So just put Mondo grass into your browser if you want to have a look. Mondo. Right, so that's the small plant. And then should we? You pick, Dave. Would you like a really big one or another small plant? What should we go for next?
No, let's stick with the small ones for a little while, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, another small
Okay.
One.
Right. Yeah, this is another small one. And again, this is one for the front of your borders. And you might have heard of a plant called heucheras. Heucheras are also called coral bells, and they have these scalloped large leaves, which kind of grow to about 30 centimeters and form a flat, round base at the front of your border. And they are evergreen, which means you might lose a few leaves in winter, but mostly they sit there and have these lovely scalloped leaves. And then in summer to autumn, they throw up these tiny little spires of tiny, 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 tiny flowers. And heucheras are also known as coral bells, like these little tiny bells up on these spires. And they tend to come in dark purples or oranges. There's one called orange marmalade. But the one I'd like you to think about, if you like the dark side, is one called obsidian. It's literally black. It's so dark. It's got a tiny, tiny hint of purple, but it's pretty much as black as you can get for the heucheras. They like part shade, they like a relatively good soil, but again, it's one of these plants you can plant it and leave it there. It doesn't really require much maintenance at all. The one thing I would say is there's a tiny little pest that we have in quite a few of our gardens called a vine weevil. And vine weevil larvae are little white wiggly things, and they love munching on heuchera roots. So if you have one of these heucheras in your garden and it suddenly looks like it's dying, dig it up and you might find all its roots have been eaten by these vine weevils, little white slugs. Put them out, the birds love eating them. And there are, if listeners have problems with this, we can do a maybe a pest and disease special, maybe like a Halloween pest and disease and dark thing we can do. But other than that, it's a really useful plant. The front of the border doesn't get too high, doesn't require too much maintenance, but again, very, very dark obsidian, heuchera obsidian. And you can get that in garden centres. So those are the two small ones, a little grass and a little flat evergreen for the front of the border. Shall we go medium or large
No,
next?
let's go
Yours.
large then. Yeah, let's go
Okay.
large.
We're going to go really, really
Really
large. We're
large.
going to go,
Well, yeah.
well, we're going to go really large, but really flexible. And one of the things I'm often asked is for hedging and screening. Because quite often, when we are in our gardens, we want to feel enclosed, we want to maybe keep the dog in, or we just want to, have some privacy, and have a bit of peace and quiet to ourselves in our busy days. And quite often people want evergreen, so they want coverage year round and feel completely secluded. And there's lots of great evergreen hedging. But there is the beech trees, which are very, very useful for hedging because although they lose their leaves in winter, they have a very, very cool thing. And here I'd like you to do your klaxon, Dave, for some Latin. We've got a bit of Latin coming up here.
Okay.
Now, beech trees have something called malcescence, which means although the leaves in autumn die and go brown and crispy, they don't fall off the plant. And that's why when you see beech hedges all winter long, you will see them with all their leaves sticking on the hedge. And then in spring, when the new leaves come through, the old leaves drop off. That is useful. Why? Because it means you've got year-round screening, even though for a period of the time, the leaves are old and they're brown. But it means you've got that rustling feeling. It means you've still got that complete screening year round. And the best thing is there's science as to why we think this happens. We think it happens on hedging and kind of shorter plants because we think it's a protection from hungry deer eating the new emerging buds of the beech leaves. And the best thing is there are the beech, which is practically black. It's called purple beech leaf, the purple beech tree. And you can keep it as a hedge to 1 meter or 2 meters high. But if you leave it to grow as what we would call a specimen, like a big, big tree, it could grow 12 meters, 20 meters high. Really, really big, tall, very dark, glossy beech leaves. Look really, really lovely. Again, if you want something at the back of a garden to make your space feel bigger, or equally, if you want to have a nice hedge, but you want something a different color than a green. You might have lots of other greens around and you want to introduce some difference. So the Purple leaved beech, or if I'm being very posh, the Fagus sylvatica purpurea is what you would like there. So, maresence is your word of the day. And if you can get that into a sentence this week, dear listeners, take 10 million points because it's a great word to say. Oh, yes, maresence, the ability for tree to hold on to old leaves over winter. I can hear you just dropping it into the conversations up and a down and round Basingstoke as I sit here smiling.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do that, I think. I'm going to try and
Yeah.
do that. Yeah, I might try and do
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
I must have, I'm sure I've got a meeting booked this week. I might try and do that.
Yeah, indeed that. Or stick on Tuesday, just whack it into a conversation. Just drop, maresence in there casually as you do.
Maresence.
Great.
Maresence. Oh, yeah.
Maresence.
Okay.
Maresence. There we go. Every day is a school day. Sorry about that. Right. So we're left with two medium-sized ones now. So we've gone super, super small and we've gone super big but flexible, something that you can keep short, like a hedge or tall as a tree. We're going to go for the nine barks. Now, the nine barks are a group of shrubs which are really, really useful because they can cope with sun, but they can also cope with shade. They're quite well mannered. They grow to about maybe 2 meters high, and that's about 6 foot high and about 5 foot wide, about a meter and a half wide. So nicely well behaved. And nine barks have very, very dark leaves, almost black leaves, and then beautiful white balls of fluffy white flowers in early summer, and then followed by dark, dark berries. The purple leaves emerge in spring, and then towards the autumn, they might get a beautiful copper colour. So it's a plant which actually goes through a whole range of colour tones in one plant in 1 year, which is great if our gardens are small and plants have to work hard. It's called nine bark. And again, the dark, dark words are coming out here. So the one which is really, really dark is called Psychocarpus diabolo. Diabolo, like the devil. So we've had obsidian, black obsidian, we've had nigrescens, we've had purpurea, and now we're going Diabolo. So we're really bringing our goth phase through today, thanks to Jane and Dan. So it can cope with shade, as I said, it can cope with a bit of sun, really well behaved, nice addition. Just a really good doer. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean? When you might find this when you're picking your track. Do you find this, Dave, and you just want a really good doer of a song?
Well, yeah, just an all-round good. Is that what you want?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. So that is what Psychocarpus, the nine barks, are. Just a really good all-rounder. Massively underused, but again, shrubs are cheap compared to all sorts of other kinds of plants. So really well behaved. Again, it's one that you can plant. We're coming into the time of year where it's a great time of year to plant. The soil is warm, the soil is wet, as we know, because we're all suddenly in our autumn clothes. But it's a great time for trees and shrubs to get their roots down and get into the ground and get out of the pots. So that's the
Do you get asked by your clients for many dark plants or not? Are they all sort of colourful ones?
people want colour. Quite often people say I'm fed up of looking at green, and
Yeah.
we do have to remind people that green is a colour. But introducing some purple is not normally what people think of. But once I say, if we inject a bit of purple, or there might be, for instance, quite often, there might be a large purple beech tree in the background, maybe in someone else's garden or maybe in a park. And I say, well, look, we could echo that maybe with one of these nine barks in your garden, then you're linking it. And that's called a borrowed view. And it basically means we're pinching other people's trees to make them feel like they're part of our gardens.
All right,
So I wouldn't
okay.
say it's top of the list. I have used them when I'm doing like kind of quite a sometimes quite a clean and modern scheme, but I would say normally it's pinks, purples, blues that people like asking for, the lighter fluffy colors. But yeah, I'd be interested to hear from any listeners who use purple, dark purples in their garden. It can look really, really striking.
That's right. Going back to that black grass, does it
Yes.
not get hot in the summer?
Well, interestingly, it does get a bit hot, but the black actually is a form of sun cream, and this is where plants again are super, super clever. If you might remember back to biology about chlorophyll and how chlorophyll helps plants make their food because it's the compounds in there, and the chlorophyll is the chloroplasts are what give plants their green colour. That's what the chlorophyll is, and that's why when trees shed their leaves in autumn, the leaves lose that chlorophyll first of all. So that's why they change colour and stop being green. But the plants with purple on them actually have a form of sun cream within those leaves, and that protects them from getting too hot and getting too scorched by the sun. So that's often why purple leaves can be good in part shade, because they've kind of developed these ways of coping with too much sun. But I don't think it gets too hot, but I'd be interested. I don't, but I'd interested if the grass gets very, very hot. I suppose it must do. But then certain plants, sorry, you didn't ask me this, but I'll tell you anyway. Plants heat up right in the center of their nectar, in the center of their flowers. They actually generate heat to attract bees and pollinators.
All
So
right.
it can be, you know, a 5, 6, 7 degrees warmer inside a flower than outside the plant.
Do you know what? You never cease to amaze me with your
Well, do you
wealth
know
of knowledge. You never cease to amaze me on a Tuesday morning.
It's just plants never cease to amaze me. I just think they're so, you know, I came to gardening. I didn't grow up gardening, so I had to learn all this the hard way. But there's just so many cool facts. I mean, I still think all of nature is cool. There's some amazing facts about, you know, animals and mammals and fish and all the rest of it. But there's some pretty cool things that plants do that yeah, it's just great to pass on.
That's right. If you ever decide to stop being a gardener, you could always take up be a teacher of Latin, couldn't you? You could do that. Feel like I'm still at
Oh,
school on a Tuesday morning. I feel like I'm at school. I'm waiting for break time.
oh yeah,
Sorry,
do you remember what that
play
word,
time, innit, we called it
playtime,
then.
do you remember what that word was for holding onto the leaves over winter?
Oh no, knowing begins with M, doesn't it?
It does begin marescence.
Maurescence. Okay,
Marescence, there
yeah,
you go,
okay, yeah.
there you
Well,
go. Yeah, all right.
I'm thinking about break time. I'm thinking about going to the tuck shop. That's what I'm thinking about. That's why it went out of my head.
You are.
What's you've got one more, haven't you? Go on then.
One more. Let's crack on, otherwise,
Go
because
on
I've been yapping on too much. Right, this is a great one, and lots of
then.
people will have this plant in your garden, which is called the purple smoke bush, Cotinus royal purple, and it's one of these bushes which looks nothing in winter, and then in spring it has these like leaves the size of your hand. If you hold up your hand, imagine each of your fingers has a really big leaf around it, really, really dark purple, and then in summer it has these tiny little flowers coming off it, like a little puff of smoke. And these can get to 4 to 6 meters high. But the good news is, if you coppice them hard, if you cut them back to the ground in winter, they will grow. And the harder you cut them back, the bigger those flowers. Really, really dark, very, very exotic looking, but totally hardy. And the good news is, it's really easy to prune because the wood is lovely and soft. I love a tree or a shrub. It's got nice, easy, soft wood to cut, so I don't have to sit there sweating all day long. So that's the final one, Cotinus royal purple. She likes it quite sunny, very, very versatile. You'll see them all over the place. I'm quite often around Basingstoke. Great plant. But another, our final addition to our black slash purple collection there. So I hope that's given people something to learn and think about. And our thanks again to Jane and Dan for setting such a great and interesting task. I'd love to hear if they're thinking of buying any of those or putting any of
Yeah,
those
they
in their
might do,
garden.
mightn't they? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to find out because we've done quite a few colours now, haven't we? We've done black, we've done blue, we've done white and orange, I
We've
think,
done,
red. We've done quite a few now, haven't we?
I've done quite a few. I think we're pretty much almost done on the rainbow, but yeah. So it'd be interesting to hear if people have found that useful, if they've added anything from those color collections.
That's right. And if you just joined in today and you've just caught the end of that, then if you go to our website, it's all the W's, basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk, and click on the garden editor icon there, and you can download some of the past episodes as well, which has got all the other colours that we were just talking about, haven't we there? So I'm going to talk to you in a couple of weeks then, aren't
Yes, indeed.
I? And
Not sure yet.
well, I'll leave it up to you. Let's have a garden surprise, shall we?
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Lovely. I've had a few people suggest some things, so I'll have a think. But that'd be great. I'm
Yeah.
looking forward to it already.
Okay. So, but before you go, we need to the song for today.
Oh yes.
Go on, Em. You can do it.
So again, this is from Jane and Dan, because we said if you nominate a colour, you have to nominate a track.
That's
And this
right.
is a banging track. And thank you so much for reminding me of this, because this really had me smiling over the weekend when I was prepping this. And Jane and Dan have suggested we have the Black Crows, Hard to Handle. So I hope this has showed you dark purple colours are not hard to handle in your garden. But let's listen to the Black Crows telling us how it is.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.